Part 3. In this part, you will hear two segments from a radio program. After each segment, you will hear six questions about it. Before each segment begins, you will have time to preview the questions. You will hear each segment twice. Then you will hear the questions once. If you want to, you may take notes as you listen. You should mark A, B, or C. Do you have any questions? Look at the questions, then listen to the first segment. Now you will hear the first segment.
Yoga is a combination of philosophy and physical and mental exercise that originated in India over 5,000 years ago. It is also a system of techniques that we can practice to improve our well-being. Jim Kennedy is going to help us learn more about the benefits of this popular activity.
Doctors in the West now understand that yoga is a holistic approach to health. It views the body and the mind as one interconnected whole and can have a positive effect on the whole person in the physical, mental, and spiritual aspects of one's life. People who practice yoga agree that the meditation reduces stress, while the physical exercises enhance one's strength and flexibility. With me to discuss the findings of recent research are Sandra Kumar, an expert on yoga and health, and renowned dietitian, Stephen Yates. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Sandra, could you tell us a few things about the recent study conducted at Hampton University?
I'd love to. For some people, yoga is something you do to retain your youth, while others believe it solves all their physical problems. Although these expectations are unrealistic, researchers from Hampton University have shown the value of yoga in the treatment of obesity among teens.
That's very promising. How did they prove the effectiveness of yoga in fighting obesity?
The researchers studied two groups of 30 high school students suffering from obesity. They compared the weight loss or gain in both groups. However, one group was taught yoga and breathing control exercises for 40 minutes, four times a week, over 12 weeks. The control group received no such instruction. Neither group was told to go on a diet or change their food intake.
And what were the overall results?
Students in the yoga group demonstrated a weight loss of 6 pounds and a 5.7% decrease in average body mass index, BMI. However, students in the control group showed a non-significant increase in average BMI. For those listeners who are not familiar with the term BMI, it is a measure of your weight relative to your height and waist measurement, and shows how much abdominal fat your body has.
The results seem to provide welcome encouragement for those with weight problems. How did you interpret the findings, Stephen? And why is it so important to keep our weight in check?
The findings of the study certainly give us something to think about and highlight one of the benefits of practicing yoga. Weight loss is important, not only for aesthetic reasons, but because of the medical problems obesity causes, such as high blood pressure and diabetes. Add a high BMI to factors such as smoking, and you have a teenager in serious danger of developing obesity-associated diseases, particularly cardiovascular diseases later in life.
Would you say that we have a high proportion of obese teens in our country?
Absolutely. In the U.S., there are increasing numbers of children with advanced degrees of obesity. For adolescents aged 12 to 19, an estimated 14% are overweight. During the past two decades, the prevalence of obesity has almost tripled among teens. In 20 to 30 years' time, these obese teens will become old enough to be at risk of heart failure, so these statistics can't be ignored.
That's why this research is so significant. It showed the unique value of yoga in helping to combat obesity. Yoga develops control of the mind over the body, which can help compulsive eaters take control of their eating habits and make positive changes in their lifestyles and, ultimately, their health. Furthermore, yoga could easily be incorporated into the school curriculum to teach youngsters the value of weight control from an early age. Now you will hear the segment again.
Yoga is a combination of philosophy and physical and mental exercise that originated in India over 5,000 years ago. It is also a system of techniques that we can practice to improve our well-being. Jim Kennedy is going to help us learn more about the benefits of this popular activity.
Doctors in the West now understand that yoga is a holistic approach to health. It views the body and the mind as one interconnected whole and can have a positive effect on the whole person in the physical, mental, and spiritual aspects of one's life. People who practice yoga agree that the meditation reduces stress, while the physical exercises enhance one's strength and flexibility. With me to discuss the findings of recent research are Sandra Kumar, an expert on yoga and health, and renowned dietitian Stephen Yates. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Sandra, could you tell us a few things about the recent study conducted at Hampton University?
I'd love to. For some people, yoga is something you do to retain your youth, while others believe it solves all their physical problems. Although these expectations are unrealistic, researchers from Hampton University have shown the value of yoga in the treatment of obesity among teens.
That's very promising. How did they prove the effectiveness of yoga in fighting obesity?
The researchers studied two groups of 30 high school students suffering from obesity. They compared the weight loss or gain in both groups. However, one group was taught yoga and breathing control exercises for 40 minutes, four times a week, over 12 weeks. The control group received no such instruction. Neither group was told to go on a diet or change their food intake.
And what were the overall results?
Students in the yoga group demonstrated a weight loss of 6 pounds and a 5.7% decrease in average body mass index, BMI. However, students in the control group showed a non-significant increase in average BMI. For those listeners who are not familiar with the term BMI, it is a measure of your weight relative to your height and waist measurement, and shows how much abdominal fat your body has.
The results seem to provide welcome encouragement for those with weight problems. How did you interpret the findings, Stephen? And why is it so important to keep our weight in check?
The findings of the study certainly give us something to think about and highlight one of the benefits of practicing yoga. Weight loss is important, not only for aesthetic reasons, but because of the medical problems obesity causes, such as high blood pressure and diabetes. Add a high BMI to factors such as smoking, and you have a teenager in serious danger of developing obesity-associated diseases, particularly cardiovascular diseases later in life.
Would you say that we have a high proportion of obese teens in our country?
Absolutely. In the U.S., there are increasing numbers of children with advanced degrees of obesity. For adolescents aged 12 to 19, an estimated 14% are overweight. During the past two decades, the prevalence of obesity has almost tripled among teens. In 20 to 30 years' time, these obese teens will become old enough to be at risk of heart failure, so these statistics can't be ignored.
That's why this research is so significant. It showed the unique value of yoga in helping to combat obesity. Yoga develops control of the mind over the body, which can help compulsive eaters take control of their eating habits and make positive changes in their lifestyles and, ultimately, their health. Furthermore, yoga could easily be incorporated into the school curriculum to teach youngsters the value of weight control from an early age.
Number 39. According to the reporter, what do Western doctors think of yoga? Number 40. What was the main difference between the two groups? Number 41. What does Stephen Yates say the significance of a high BMI is? Number 42. What does Stephen Yates suggest about the results of the study? Number 43. How does Sandra Kumar say yoga might help obese teens? Number 44. What is the main purpose of this report? Look at the questions. Then listen to the second segment. Now you will hear the second segment.
People often ask, how dangerous is loud noise? And at what volume is it a health hazard? The problem is that permanent hearing loss is generally a long-term process, so it is not possible to tell exactly when noise becomes loud enough to cause damage to the ears. Wendy Harper reports.
First of all, it's important to emphasize that hearing loss is only one of the many dangers of loud noise. Noise causes stress. And as we know, stress is a significant factor in illness and, in extreme cases, suicide. So you may wonder how scientists study the effects of noise. Dr. Albert Bauer and his colleagues recently researched one aspect of noise called night traffic noise. Dr. Bauer, what exactly is night traffic noise, and what did you discover about it?
In our research, the term night traffic noise refers to noise that is prejudicial to health or is a nuisance. It can be emitted from or caused by a vehicle, machinery, or equipment. We found that night traffic noise not only disturbs sleep, but leads to psychosomatic illnesses. Exposure to night traffic noise may even cause cardiological problems. Let me explain our research method. We carried out our experiments in a sleep laboratory near an airport in Berlin with 40 volunteers between the ages of 18 and 40.
So the noise you studied came primarily from aircraft taking off and landing and the associated road traffic one encounters around any airport?
Exactly. The subjects slept for the first week without any noise, but during the second week, they were exposed to noise levels of up to 75 decibels during their sleep. This is the normal noise level near any airport. We found that the noise was particularly disturbing and upsetting during the first 2 hours and last 2 hours of sleep. In other words, the volunteers stayed awake longer and had trouble falling asleep. The noise also led to shorter periods of deep sleep and longer periods of the initial light sleep phase. In addition, we observed that the adrenaline level of the participants rose by an average of 60% during the period that they were exposed to the noise. The sleep and general well-being of these volunteers deteriorated from the first week to the second.
Dr. Bauer, you suggested earlier that high levels of adrenal activity are associated with other serious health problems. Could you elaborate?
Of course. When people were subjected to the noise from aircraft, Their adrenal glands secreted 19% more of the hormone cortisol than is normal. Our findings suggest that a high cortisol concentration in the body can contribute to the development of diabetes and stomach ulcers and may increase the risk of high blood pressure. Basically, noise disturbs sleep and causes serious cardiovascular problems.
But while the consequences for health are serious, we should not forget nor underestimate the social impact of hearing impairment as a result of exposure to loud noise over time. When a person cannot understand speech in normal conditions, he or she suffers a severe social handicap. Loud noise is not only unpleasant, it can seriously affect your health.
Now you will hear the segment again.
People often ask, how dangerous is loud noise? And at what volume is it a health hazard? The problem is that permanent hearing loss is generally a long-term process, so it is not possible to tell exactly when noise becomes loud enough to cause damage to the ears. Wendy Harper reports.
First of all, it's important to emphasize that hearing loss is only one of the many dangers of loud noise. Noise causes stress. And as we know, stress is a significant factor in illness and, in extreme cases, suicide. So you may wonder how scientists study the effects of noise. Dr. Albert Bauer and his colleagues recently researched one aspect of noise called night traffic noise. Dr. Bauer, what exactly is night traffic noise, and what did you discover about it?
In our research, the term night traffic noise refers to noise that is prejudicial to health or is a nuisance. It can be emitted from or caused by a vehicle, machinery, or equipment. We found that night traffic noise not only disturbs sleep, but leads to psychosomatic illnesses. Exposure to night traffic noise may even cause cardiological problems. Let me explain our research method. We carried out our experiments in a sleep laboratory near an airport in Berlin with 40 volunteers between the ages of 18 and 40.
So the noise you studied came primarily from aircraft taking off and landing and the associated road traffic one encounters around any airport?
Exactly. The subjects slept for the first week without any noise, but during the second week, they were exposed to noise levels of up to 75 decibels during their sleep. This is the normal noise level near any airport. We found that the noise was particularly disturbing and upsetting during the first 2 hours and last 2 hours of sleep. In other words, the volunteers stayed awake longer and had trouble falling asleep. The noise also led to shorter periods of deep sleep and longer periods of the initial light sleep phase. In addition, we observed that the adrenaline level of the participants rose by an average of 60% during the period that they were exposed to the noise. The sleep and general well-being of these volunteers deteriorated from the first week to the second.
Dr. Bauer, you suggested earlier that high levels of adrenal activity are associated with other serious health problems. Could you elaborate?
Of course. When people were subjected to the noise from aircraft, their adrenal glands secreted 19% more of the hormone cortisol than is normal. Our findings suggest that a high cortisol concentration in the body can contribute to the development of diabetes and stomach ulcers and may increase the risk of high blood pressure. Basically, noise disturbs sleep and causes serious cardiovascular problems.
But while the consequences for health are serious, we should not forget nor underestimate the social impact of hearing impairment as a result of exposure to loud noise over time. When a person cannot understand speech in normal conditions, he or she suffers a severe social handicap. Loud noise is not only unpleasant, it can seriously affect your health.
Number 45. What does Dr. Bauer say he and his colleagues discovered? Number 46. What were the conditions of the experiment? Number 47. According to Dr. Bauer, when was the noise most disturbing? Number 48. What effect did night traffic noise have on the sleep of the subjects? Number 49. What possible damage could be caused by a high level of cortisol in the body? Number 50. What is the main purpose of this report? End of the listening test.